For those of you who are visiting Lord's Day mornings, we are going through the opening verses of this chapter in 1 John 3, considering adoption and those things associated with it, and particularly the Lord's people who are the sons of God and their ownership and their waiting and their glorious hope. Well, let's read verse 1 and 2 again this morning. 1 John 3, verse 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that, when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. The congregation, the apostle, in writing to the church at Colossae, in the third chapter, wrote this: If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. What a day is coming, the last day, because it is. It will be the end of time. It will be a solemn day because of God's justice. What a day when we will all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. But it is a glorious day because of Christ the blessed Redeemer. And the Lord's people, the sons and daughters of the living God, can look forward in anticipation. The Puritan Matthew Paul wrote, Then shall these adopted children be brought into glory with him. What a hope the adopted children have, being brought into glory on that great day. There will be such a glory, such a shining in excellency. And on that day, as we will consider this morning, there will be a greater likeness to our elder brother. The Lord Jesus Christ, who is the elder brother, as we see in the Song of Solomon 8, verse 1, who is not ashamed to call us brethren, as we see in Hebrews 2. What a hope. Notice verse 2. Beloved, now be the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now last week we considered first of all love toward the family, and then secondly belonging to the Father. We're going to continue on where we left off last week. Well, first of all, love towards the family. Just notice how John addresses the brethren in verse 2. Beloved, now we the sons of God. Here was an evidence of adoption in the heart, the life of John. And love is an evidence of adoption. It's an evidence of life as well, isn't it? Notice verse 14. We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Evidence of life. Love that is seen in action. And our great example is the Father. As we consider showing love, our example is the Father. 1 John 4 verse 7, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. We look to him, and an evidence that we belong to him, that we are adopted, that we have life, is love in exercise. Love in exercise. Oh, what love towards us. Oh, that we're to have that love in exercise. It's a mark of adoption. It's a mark of adoption. And then we considered belonging to the family. Belonging to the family, belonging to the Father. Notice verse 2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now we are the sons of God. We're in the family. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. The world does not really know us as the world does not know Christ. Notice the end of verse 1. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. We're not of that family. We're in another family. We're in the family of the Heavenly Father. We're in his family. We belong to him. We're under his care. We're under his discipline and chastisement. We're under his protection. We live in hostile territory. The world does not know us. As we note in verse 1, we're in hostile territory and we face difficulties and hardship. We're under his protection. How blessed we are to belong to him. How do we know if we're in the family this morning? It's if we have been given faith. We're looking to him. For we read in Galatians 3 verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. Have we faith? If we do, we belong to the Father. We belong to the Father. Now are we the sons of God. Yes, at times certain ones in the world would say, well, look at them. Look at all they suffer. Where is their God? Well, we belong to him. We're in the family. It's true. What do we read in verse 2? Beloved, now we the sons of God. We are. Let's remember it. And we're to conduct ourselves in a befitting way. We read in 1 Thessalonians 2 verse 12 that ye would walk worthy of God, who have called you into unto his kingdom and glory. We're to walk worthy. We're to walk worthy when we're together. We're to walk worthy when we're on our own. And in this world, we're to walk worthy in such a way that people know that we belong to the Father. We are to conduct ourselves in a befitting way. We read in Ephesians 5 verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now ye light in the Lord. Walk as the children of light. Walk as the children of light. Of light, not in darkness, but walk as the children of light. We are to shine. We are to conduct ourselves in such a way that it reveals that we belong to the Father. Well, we belong to him, verse 2, beloved, now we the sons of God. We're the sons of God. Why do we ever sin then? But we do because of indwelling sin. Why have we ever done certain things that are a shame? It's because of indwelling sin. We belong to the Father. And do not we desire people to know by the way we conduct ourselves that we belong to the Father? What are we? We are an epistle, a living epistle. Some people think, well, it's all about what I say. Well, that's a little of it. It's about how we act, how we conduct ourselves, our good works. Oh, we are to, through these things, reveal that we belong to the Father. Beloved, now we the sons of God. Just follow these verses through. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now we the sons of God. The world doesn't know us, because we belong to the Father. And it's revealed that we belong to the Father by the way we conduct ourselves and the love we show. Love towards the family and belonging to the Father. Well, we continue on where we left off. And first of all, this morning we'll consider waiting for the discovery. And secondly, likeness to the elder brother. Waiting for the discovery. And secondly, likeness to the elder brother. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Now just consider the comfort in verse 2. Now are we the sons of God. There's comfort, and there's an aid to assurance, isn't it? We are. Now are we the sons of God, says John to the brethren. We are. And if you follow through later in the chapter, love further is that aid to assurance. Just notice verse 19, and hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. And it's a comfort, isn't it, to know we belong to the Father and therefore our wait is not in vain. Beloved, now we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a comfort to know that we can be found waiting. Waiting for the coming of our elder brother. Waiting to that day when we will be brought into such a state and there will be a greater likeness to him. Adopted children can wait, as we will consider this morning. Waiting for the discovery. What a solemn thought it is. If there's someone here, not a believer, there's no hope, is there? There'd be no glorious resurrection. There'd be no comforting waiting for the discovery. Or that you would go to the Saviour. Or that you would believe in him. Well, let's consider this, waiting for the discovery. Adopted children are waiting for the discovery. Verse 2, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. What a comfort that is. What an assurance. Now note these words, it doth not yet appear what we shall be. Now we know there will be a greater likeness to Christ, our elder brother, as we note at the end of verse 2. But there is a general veiling. It's beyond really our understanding. It's beyond our ability to take it in. We cannot take it in what we will be like on that great day when the Lord comes. I don't think we would be able to stop crying if we were given a little more detail of what we are going to be like on that great day. Why? Because of sin. We can't really grasp the difference. It will be far beyond what we can really comprehend. We can't take it in now because of our limited capacity and our sin. And we can't really grasp how wonderful it's going to be. To our present state, we have indwelling sin now, but then we will be complete in holiness. How amazing that is. We will be perfect. There will be no sin within. Oh, what a wonderful day. We know so little. Note these words again. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that. But when he should appear, we shall be like him. We know that, but we know so little. Seems a paradox, doesn't it? It doth not yet appear what we shall be. We don't know, but we know that. We know so little. But the comfort is we know there's going to be a greater likeness to him. We know so little. And dear brothers and sisters in Christ, we need to leave it there at times. Because whatever we try to comprehend in our minds is so little in comparison to what it really will be like. What a blessing we will find out. What a blessing we will find out. We know so little. What do we read in 1 Corinthians 13 verse 12? For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. We have to wait. We have to wait for the realization in full of this amazing blessing. But it's good that we're focusing. We're waiting. We're heavenly minded. Remember those words again of the Apostle in Colossians 3 verse 1. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. A heavenly mind, setting our affections on things above. There's the exercise in the mind, in the heart, thinking about the Lord with a heart of affection. We can think about something, but there's little affection. You can say something with little affection. You can say something affectionate in words, but little affection within. We're to be looking up with affection arising from our hearts towards the Lord. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look up, set your affection. Be waiting. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then she also appear with him in glory. We're to be looking up, we're to be waiting. It's good to wait. Psalm 130, verse 5, I wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait, and in his word do I hope. I wait for the Lord. Spurgeon writes, the Lord's people have always been a waiting people, commenting on Psalm 130. They waited for his first advent, and they wait for his second advent. He will come again. Wait for the Lord, my soul doth wait. Remember the testimony of the brethren of Christ in Micah, 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 10, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, even Jesus, which delivered us from the wrath to come. Waiting for Jesus, our deliverer, who's delivered us from the wrath to come. Just think of that. We can wait. We can be in expectation, for the wrath of God will never find us out because of him. In Romans 8, verse 23, and not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. Waiting for the adoption. On that day, bring it in together with it here. There will be that greater likeness on that day. Glorification, publicly owned as the people of God, declared to be so on that day. We're waiting for the adoption. We are adopted, but it will be publicly declared on that great day. It will be revealed. There's a waiting. Romans 8 verse 24, for we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope, for what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. So if you consider those verses and come back here, we're to be waiting for a discovery. And what a discovery it will be. Waiting with patience. Not easy to wait with patience at times, is it? What do we find waiting hard for? Maybe for some of you it's a meal. I went to the fish and chip shop the other day at Pennington. There's a little sign on the door, cooked fresh. Well, that sounds good, doesn't it? But you have to wait a little longer for it. It was a long wait. And I say this carefully, it wasn't the best chip shop I've been to. It's not easy to wait, is it? Maybe waiting for the end of the school day. The end of the school year, what a year. Wait is over now. Waiting for the end of the working day. It's not easy in some situations. You've had a hard day in the workplace and you just want to go home. But you know you must do your time because you're a good employee. It's not easy to wait. Some perplexing trial. Not easy to wait, is it? We desire the trial to pass, but we have to be more patient. Waiting patiently. Psalm 40 verse 1, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. I waited patiently, says the psalmist, but also our Lord. Waiting patiently. It's not easy to wait at times. Remember what our Lord said at the end of that psalm. Make haste. We can pray that. But at the same time, we need to wait patiently. Waiting. It's not easy at times. But think of this. Waiting for the discovery. What do we read in Job 14 verse 4? If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time would I wait till my change come. All the days of my appointed time will I wait. We don't know how many more days of our appointed time we have, so we need to wait till every day. But it's not easy at times. But there's Job. He's waiting till my change come. Some have considered the change at death, and what a change that will be. Goodbye to sin. But particularly on the great day, what a change that will be. Remember Job, for I know that my Redeemer liveth. And he was looking forward in seeing the Lord. For when he would see the Lord on that great day, there would have come that great change. The change on the great day. And Paul picks this up in Philippians 3, verse 21. Who shall change our vile body? Who shall change our vile body? Waiting for the change. For Dr. Joe, all the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Death, but then particularly on that great day. Waiting for the day. Waiting for the coming. Waiting for the discovery. And what a discovery, verse 2. Beloved, now we the sons of God. And it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Waiting. Are you waiting? In anticipation. Can I encourage you this week just to stop at times and set your affection on things above? Your Saviour's in heaven. Yes, he's with you in a spiritual way. He's with us in a very special way when we gather together in the gatherings of the saints. But his immediate presence is in heaven. Set your affection on things above. Let your thoughts go to heaven. Let your heart go to heaven. Remember Samuel Rutherford? He said this, since the Lord looked upon my heart, it is not my own. He hath run away to heaven with it. What does that mean? Well, Samuel Rutherford often thought of his Lord in heaven, who had his heart. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Yes, we live in this world, and we must attend to certain things. And there are some pleasant things in this world. There are some happy times. Happy times with children, we can consider family and friends. A pleasant place to go to. Set your affection on things above, even then. Set your affections on things above. Let your heart think of heaven and your Saviour and be waiting for him. We need to occupy, don't we? Our Lord made that plain. Such wisdom. We've got to live in this world. We've got to attend to certain things. We need to occupy, but all to be more heavenly minded. Certain Puritan John Flavel was on horseback, we're told. And he arrived at a certain inn so he could have a lodging and a meal and a place to sleep at the end of day. And people saw him. Who was it? What had John Flavel been doing on his horseback? He had been thinking much of heaven. And the people thought, who is this one? Or the people would note something about us, that we don't belong to this world, as we note in verse 2. We belong to our elder brother, and we have much time for him in our thoughts and in our hearts, and we spend time looking up to him. Set your affections on things above. Be waiting for the discovery. As we consider waiting for the discovery, as we wait, not only should we be setting our affections on things above, it should be our concern, firstly, holy living. We should be concerned about holy living. 1 Peter 1 verse 13, wherefore gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Holiness, holy living, is to be our concern. Be ye holy, says the Lord, for I am holy. Our Father, our Heavenly Father, desires that the children grow in holiness. And so it should be our concern. Now, he is infinitely holy. But there should be some faint resemblance in us, holiness. We will never be infinitely holy. But oh, that we would be more holy. Remember what one of those said, as holy as a sinner on earth can be. A holy as a sinner on earth can be. That should be our desire. Matthew Paul commenting on verse 2 here in 1 John 3. Must be daily improved in progressive sanctification. Progressive sanctification. This growing in grace, this becoming more holy, cultivating a godly fear within our hearts, that we might respect him, that we might so conduct ourselves as children. 1 Peter 1 verse 17, and if you call on the Father, who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's word, pass the time of your sojourn here in fear. This fear, this godly, this awe of the Father, concerned about him and his word, desiring to be more holy. As we wait, we are to have a concern about holy living. There's much unholiness in this world. We're living in an age, aren't we, where things are being pushed in front of our children and young people. And it's not easy for you young people and children. What an age! When I was a little younger, not many years ago, some of these things were being brought to the fore, but not in the way they are today. Such immoral living, such a moral considerations being pushed in front of us today. It's not easy. We need to shine as lights in this world. We are to show the world a far better way. Concerned about holy living. How we conduct ourselves. The things we say, the places we go, the things we do. We're to be concerned about holy living. How we fare. Do you recognize that? How we fare. How we let our Heavenly Father down. How we let our elder brother down. Oh, to be more thinking of him. Oh, to be waiting for the discovery, but at the same time concerned about holy living. We've read earlier, haven't we? We thought earlier of being lights in this world. We have much opportunity to be lights in this world because the darkness seems to be getting darker in this country. To shine as lights. How important that is. Not to be like a chameleon. To blend in. To do the certain things of the world. No. We're to shine as lights in the darkness. We're to be of a good influence. We're to show to people what is the right way by the way we conduct ourselves. It's one thing to say, well, this is what you must do. But our lives must be the evidence that this is what we are to be doing. Our living is to bear testimony to the correctness of what we say. Now we all fail. But all we are to be concerned about holy living. As obedient children, says Peter, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. In every area of our lives. What a subject this is. In every area. In all manner of our conversation. Our mode of living. In every area. And we need to consider those things we struggle with and take action with sin and say no. It's not good enough that we excuse our sin. What we must do is get down before the Saviour and ask for forgiveness and ask for grace and strength that we might be able to do that which is right. Because he that hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation. Be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Father towards his children. So the children are to respond, Lord, help me to be as holy as a sinner on earth can be. And we need help, don't we? And your Heavenly Father, my Heavenly Father, is there ready to help you to do what is right. We pray, lead us not into temptation. When we do yield to temptation, we point the finger at ourselves. And then we pray, deliver us from evil. Deliver me, Lord, and help me to do that which is right. While we're waiting for the discovery, waiting for this wonderful change, we're to be concerned about holy living. But then secondly here, and we'll close with this, is it not our concern to be more like our elder brethren? It flows on, does it not, as we will consider tonight. Because as you think about holiness, as we progress in sanctification, are we not brought more and more to being like our elder brother? Our concern. Now what do we read at the end of verse 2? When he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. There will be this greater likeness, which we will consider the Lord with him next Lord's Day morning. We'll have to wait for this. But are we not concerned to be more like Jesus this afternoon, tomorrow? Are you not more concerned to be more like Jesus as you go to your workplace? As you go out in this world, to be more like him, our elder brother. What a blessing we have an elder brother, Song of Solomon 8 verse 1, who came, took our nature. That's the fulfillment of the Song of Solomon 8 verse 1. What a blessing that we have one, our elder brother in the family. Don't we want to be more like him? So kind, as we will consider tonight, so meek and lowly. More like Jesus is our desire. Well, while we're waiting till we see him at death, and particularly in light of this verse this morning, till we, for the discovery on that great day, do not we want to be more like Jesus? Till that day when there will be a greater likeness to him. What a likeness there will be. He'll always be far greater than us, but there will be a greater likeness as we will consider. But don't we want to be a little more like him here upon earth? And so we read in Peter, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Grow in grace and in knowledge. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he should appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Waiting for the discovery, and the Lord willing, we'll conclude this series next week by considering greater likeness to the elder brother, verse 2. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. He is. May the Lord help us, for his name's sake. Amen.
Amen.
Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, what a discovery we will discover one day. We shall be like him. We can't take it in, Lord. It's reserved for the day because we have not the capacity to take it in. And we couldn't stop crying if we were given a little more detail. When we consider our present state compared to the final state. Lord, but help us to be waiting. Help us to set our affections on things above. Help us while we wait to be concerned about holy living. Lord, it is our concern. Help us, Lord, to be more like Jesus till we see him. That's the desire of our hearts. And that people in this world would know there is something about us, even if we do not say certain things. But they would know there is something about us by our love, our kindness. The grace is flourishing within. Our faith in affliction. Oh Lord, help us. Help us this week to remember we are a living epistle, seen and read of every man. Oh, may we show to the world the better way. Help us, oh Lord, these are difficult days. There is so much put in our face. So many immoral things are presented to us today. Help us, O Lord, to shine in this world, to show lovingly a better way, to show that lovingly that better way through the way we conduct ourselves. Lord, we are so challenged and humbled by those words of our Saviour in his Sermon on the Mount, that by our good works they may glorify thee. Lord, may it be so. If it please thee, use our testimony of just living in this world to draw people to thyself. Hear us, O Lord. Forgive us our sins, how much we fail. How great is thy mercy. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen.
Amen.
We turn to our final praise, Psalm 131. The whole song to the tune Humility. Two things in this psalm, humility and hope. Humility and hope. Psalm 131, my heart not haughty is, O Lord, mine eyes not lofty be, nor do I deal in matters great or things too high for me.
Why, how much not?
Unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.
Amen.